This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, Richard is from a town in Tennessee called Elkton. I don't even know where Elkton is, never heard of it. But he tells a powerful story out of his life. It's where he lives now. He said, growing up, my gangster mentality overrode every good and noble principle my character was founded on. My mother raised me to be a family man with integrity. She taught me how to love, protect, and help my family at all times. But when I entered into the underworld lifestyle of a drug dealer, the Christian values I had been taught became tainted, to say the least. Every day in the drug business, I put myself, my mom, my two younger sisters in danger. All of us could have been kidnapped, held hostage, or murdered. Who knows? There are no rules in this game, but I took chances anyway. I can remember my mom, he says, sitting me down on occasions, explaining to me why her hair was turning gray and why her heart fluttered when the phone rang when I wasn't at home. She said just the phone ringing in the chill of the night caused her to wonder, is my son still alive? Is he dead? Is that going to be a policeman calling on the other end to tell me that something's happened to my son? And every time she would give me the talk, he said, I would always say, okay, Ma, I'll straighten up my act, but he never did. Until one night, he said, my mother's biggest fear became a reality. It was March 2006. I was in New York in a small town with a rural setting. Somebody came to his door and stabbed him 5 times. He said, after being stabbed 5 times, I could only hold my wounds as my mother's voice echoed in my mind, son, you're either going to end up dead or in jail. I thought to myself, I'm not ready to die. So with sincere desperation, I cried out loud, God, let me live and I'll live for you. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Isn't it amazing what you pray when someone's stabbing you? When you know you're going to die and death is imminent. God, here's what he prayed. Let me live and I'll live for you. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And just as clear as I heard a voice out loud say, I think I heard my Lord say, repent. Isn't that interesting? He heard the word repent, which means to turn. Since that day, I've been a changed man. I'm now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repenting of my sinful lifestyle was the wisest decision I've ever made. The gangster mentality no longer governs my life. The way I was trained as a youth now reigns. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. What happened to Richard from Elkton, Tennessee, was not that he had some intellectual brainstorm that happened. It wasn't some philosophical change in his life. I'll tell you what happened. Light came into his life. Light, L-I-G-H-T with a capital L. Jesus, who is the light of the world, and it's one of the titles of Jesus, is light. And it's by no mistake. You know, light is the one thing in the universe that I know of that isn't tainted or made bad by something it touches. Anybody ever eaten bad food? Anybody ever had food poisoning? You know, I've had it. And they say there's two kinds of feelings you have at the food poisoning. The first one is you feel so bad, you think you're going to die. The second feeling is you feel so bad, you want to die. That's how bad food poisoning can be, and there's a lot of truth to that.
Well, we'll continue this message from Luke 11 about Jesus being the light that changes a man's life, a woman's life. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
So food can be contaminated by that which it touches. The air can be contaminated by that which it touches, smog. 1952 or 54, I think it was, thousands of people died in London because of a poisonous fog that covered the city with sulfuric acid in it or some chemical in it from the furnaces and from people's wood-burning stoves in people's chimneys, and I think 4,000 people died. So air can become contaminated. Food can be contaminated. Water can be contaminated if you've ever had bad water. Blood can be contaminated. But you know the one thing that can't be contaminated? Light. Light cannot be contaminated by anything it touches. Light can come down on the ugliest, vilest scene, but it's still light. It's still pure. And that's the analogy the Lord uses about himself. I am the light of the world. And Hebrews 10:32, I think, says this, that when you come to Christ, you come to the light. You receive the light. Don't forget that thought today. And that may be the most important thing I'm going to say today. When you come to Christ, you receive the light. That's what it says in Hebrews 10:32. You receive the light. We're going to read a passage of Scripture where Jesus talks about light. Just four verses long, I think. But the light that's in your soul and my life, get this, not because you're so brilliant or I'm so intelligent. It's because of the one who lives in us. Ultimately, light comes from the source of light, and that's Jesus Christ. It's in Luke 11 when Jesus said not only this in the Gospels, not only that he was the light of the world, he turned to his followers like you and me, and he said, you're the light of the world. Why is that? Because the light that's in him comes into your life when you receive it. The light of the world that's in him comes into you. So therefore, here's the essence of the message today. You and I are to be people who radiate the light. You're going to radiate something. You know people who radiate hatred. You know people who radiate anger. You know people who radiate bitterness, and they're always scorekeepers, and they're telling you how people cheated them with this, and life's cheated them, and everything is about how they've been short-circuited in life in every way, short-handed. And we either radiate the light of Christ or the darkness of this world. We really do. Verse 33, Jesus said, I'm going to read this from the NIV, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. What does that mean? Light's meant to be seen. I've said this before, I love this sanctuary because I love light. I'm a light guy. I like having the light of the sun coming in here because it's very symbolic of the power and the light of God's word, the light of Christ coming into this room. We are not called to live in the darkness, but in the light. Verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body is also full of darkness. The idea being there is that your eyes are what let light into the body, which is obvious, physically. You know, a blind person isn't interested in light. He has no interest. She has no interest in light because she can't see it. But people who can see are at least open to the light. Open to the light.
Well, I don't know if you've ever thought of a spiritual relationship to the Lord involving light, but it's all about light. Either we live in light, the light of Christ, or we live in darkness. That choice is yours. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
Verse 35, see to it that the light within you is not darkness. In other words, what it is that's in you is light and not darkness. Verse 36, therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. All of life boils down to light and darkness. Let me put this really in a simple way. Your marriage either reflects light or reflects darkness. It really does. Your relationship with your children either reflects light or it reflects darkness. Your job that you do for a living reflects light or darkness. Your education reflects light or darkness. Everything we do, every conversation we have, every experience we have is either in light or in darkness. And that's why when you receive the light of Christ in your life, you see everything differently. Everything. You know, my dad became a Christian as an adult, and I've always remembered that something my dad said. He was in his early 20s and gave his life to Christ as a young adult. I remember him telling me, he said he had already had two children with myself and my sister, my oldest sister, the two of us. And he said, when I became a Christian, I looked at the two of you differently. He said, I looked at the house differently. I looked at my job as a sales manager of a company in Chicago differently. He looked at the car. Everything, he said, took on a whole new vista or a new view when he came to Christ. How do you explain that? Light. You ever walked into a dimly lit room looking for something and you can't find it and all you did was turn on a light? There it is. Light helps you to see that which you can't see otherwise. And the light of Christ will help you to see things in relationships that you never saw before. When you're dating someone, you're dating a man or a woman, you can see different things because of the light of Christ that's in you. You sense things in your spirit that you never would sense before. You read things in the conversations that you never would have read before, but it's all because of the light. Helen Gonzalez was a lady from, I think she was from California. She was a heroin addict of her day years ago, or a drug addict of some kind, I will say that, in Los Angeles. She said, one day God in his mercy allowed me to find a business card that had the address and phone number of the Los Angeles Teen Center, which was a drug treatment center, Christian-based drug treatment center. On the other side of the card, it said, society says, once an addict, always an addict. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth will set you free. Curious to know what that meant, I went to the Teen Challenge Center. I was a bitter woman, mentally, spiritually, and physically sick. No purpose in life. But as I listened to the gospel of Christ, a glimmer of hope was beamed to my heart. What was that beam called? Light. That's what it was called. It was a beam of light. Perhaps there was hope for me. At last, I decided to commit my wasted life to Christ. I asked him into my heart, and he made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things became new. What happened to Helen Gonzalez? The L word, light. You know, the light of Christ will do something in your life that nothing else will do. You ever watched a TV show where they have a counselor on it and they're giving advice to couples or they're giving advice to families, and no one says anything about the light? You know, when you're in darkness and you try to help someone in darkness and all you have to offer is more darkness, there's not a lot of help. You're in darkness and all you know is darkness and I'm going to offer you a little more darkness, that's not very much hope. But there's something to be said about the power of the light that comes in to a man's life or a woman's life, like Helen and like Richard from Elkton, Tennessee. Light. Think about what the light of Christ has done in your life right now. I want you to think about things that you would have looked at totally differently if it weren't for the light of Christ in your life. A person that you met, you would have looked at totally differently, both good and bad, had you had the light of Christ. Relationships that you initiated that would have been different if you had the light of Christ. Business deals that you made would have been different if you had the light of Christ. You see, the light of Christ isn't just a religious feeling. May I tell you what it is? It's the way to see everything. It's not just that God gives you some more insight into dealing with people, that he gives you more insight in dealing with problems. He gives you light with a capital L to see everything. When you come to Christ, you see your past, your present, and your future differently. Your past sin, covered by the blood of Christ. Your current, present problems, underneath the power of God, your future in the hand of God. Everything's different because of the light. This is actually one of my favorite stories. It's told by Dennis Kinlaw, who for years was the president of Asbury Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury, I think it's called Asbury University now, like a lot of schools. He writes a story, Dennis Kinlaw does, about his son, Denny, who went to be a surgeon. Grew up in a preacher's home, got away from the Lord, said God moved to the margin of his life, and I want you to hear his story. It's powerful. Denny says this, I grew up in a Christian home, a pretty good home. Very early, I heard about Christ. When I was 7, my mother prayed with me to receive Christ. I have some very precious memories after that of Jesus being very real to me. But when I began to approach the great chasm of an inferiority that we call adolescence, when my Adam's apple was entirely too big and my muscles weren't big enough, I began to be more conscious of me than of Him. God moved to the margin of my life. Don't raise your hand, but some of you have been there and done that, where God was at the center of your life, maybe when you were younger, and then He moved to the margin. I know what that means. You know what that means. He's on the edge. He's an also-ran. Yeah, He's in my life somewhere out there. I got into college and decided that Christianity was simply one of the many religions of the world, that really there wasn't a God. I never told anyone that I was an atheist, but I was quite proud that in my inner heart I had the courage to disbelieve God. Isn't that interesting? I was raised in a Christian home, and he said, I was so proud of the fact that I had the courage to disbelieve God.
Well, I don't want you to miss the rest of this story about a man named Denny Kinlaw, surgeon, who puts God on the margin of his life twice in his life, but brings God back to the center. What a story. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Finally, I got into the university. I decided now I'm with people who are really open and free. My professors weren't open, nor were they free. They wanted to impose on me a view of reality that neither fitted what I had learned in my family nor what I had learned about life on my own. I began again to open my life to God, and He came back to the center. I decided I wanted my life to be His holy. Then I began my hospital residency and internship. I found that I could work 36 hours without a break, without sleep, just like the other people did. I had no time for God. I also discovered that when I didn't talk to God, He didn't talk to me. He moved to the margin of my life again. When He moved to the margin, the hole that was left didn't stay empty. The place He had occupied was now filled with appetites and passions. Slowly, I discovered they were there and were controlling me. I began to feel sorry for myself. I looked at these other doctors with their private planes and their summer homes and their winter homes and their places at the beach and their big automobiles and their luxurious living, and I thought, just let me get out into suburbia and I'll make some big money and I'll have a chance to enjoy some of those things. Slowly, Denny Kinlaw says, it began to dawn on me that those appetites controlled me. I realized, barring a miracle, I was already programmed for disaster. I had a day off. I spent it alone, fasting and praying. I wouldn't recommend that you do that if you're not ready for some changes in your life. Now listen to this. This is really interesting what happens. 6 weeks later, he's in surgery with another surgeon operating on a woman who's a drug addict. The other surgeon's hand slipped. There were three of us operating on this girl who was a drug addict. She was loaded with a form of hepatitis often found in drug addicts and prostitutes. When the other surgeon's hand slipped, his instrument penetrated my glove and cut into the flesh of my hand. In due time, I contracted hepatitis of the worst kind. Those next few months were a time of great pain and despondency. I looked death straight in the face. Isn't that amazing? I looked death straight in the face. I hardly remember the despondency and the pain and suffering. What I do remember is that the Lord came back to the center of my life, and when he came back, he set me free. The tyranny of those appetites was broken. What happened to Denny Kinlaw? The L word, light, L-I-G-H-T. Listen carefully as I wrap up this morning. The light of Christ will do something in your life that nothing else can do. You may have a son or daughter, you say, he just needs to get his act together. No, he needs the light of Christ. Well, I've got a sister-in-law. She just needs to get fixed in some of her mental problems. Well, maybe she does, but she needs the light of Christ. Well, I've got an in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law that's got a problem with this or that, and they just need to get some help. No, they need the light of Christ ultimately. And so what the message is about, Jesus talks about light today, and he says it's all about light. You are either an example of a person with light in their life, or your life is full of darkness. It really is. And I want to keep going back to that verse, Hebrews 10:32, that says this, when you receive the light, your life changed.
Well, if that scripture's true, have you received the light? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.